Good evening, this is Gary Black with a KUAC Newsminer update. The Interior Department is increasing fees at the most popular national parks to $35 per vehicle. That is down from an earlier plan that would have cost $70 per vehicle. The plan, announced today, will boost fees at 17 popular parks, including Denali National Park and Preserve. The original plan by Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke drew widespread opposition from lawmakers and governors of both parties, who said the higher fees could exclude many Americans from enjoying our national parks. The agency received more than 109,000 comments on the plan, most of them opposed. The $35 fee applies mostly in the West and will affect such parks as Yellowstone, Zion, Bryce Canyon, Rocky Mountain, and Grand Teton, among others. Zinke said the fee hikes are needed to help maintain the parks and begin to address an $11.6 billion maintenance backlog. Alaska's rural communities are increasingly looking to wind, solar, and biomass to reduce demand for diesel-generated heat and electricity. The renewable technologies are being highlighted this week at a rural energy conference here in Fairbanks. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Galena saved more than $500,000 last year because a biomass-burning boiler reduced diesel consumption by more than half. Kotzebue cut the cost of heating its hospital by more than $40,000 last year by using wind energy to displace diesel. And 11 other communities in northwestern Alaska used solar energy to save more than $190,000 that otherwise would have gone to buying the fossil fuel.
Any and every community that's paying a lot for diesel-generated electricity has a significant interest in this.
Renewable energy expert Brian Hirsch says residents of those remote communities increasingly are embracing alternative sources of energy to offset the high cost of fuel that must be brought in by barge or air.
You have a village of Noatak where there's no opportunity to barge fuel and you have to fly in every drop of diesel fuel. Their retail prices for diesel fuel are over $10 a gallon.
Hirsch is a consultant contracted by the Nana Regional Native Corporation to help 11 towns and villages in the Northwest Arctic Borough reduce fuel costs with solar power. He works with Ingmar Mathiasen, the Northwest Arctic Borough's energy manager, who says sharp fuel price spikes motivated residents to try renewables.
At $10 a gallon or more, and electric at 70 cents, 80 cents a kilowatt, it just became a survival issue.
The town of Eagle also is using solar to reduce its use of diesel. Meanwhile, in Kotzebue, the Area Native Association is using a different renewable, wind, to heat its regional hospital. Corey Ulig, a senior project manager with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, says Manilok Association officials decided to try wind in 2012 when diesel prices were soaring, at about the same time the local utility was erecting wind generators.
They were burning over 160,000 gallons a year. It's huge expenses. That was killing them.
Ulig says the electric-powered boiler at the Manilok Health Center displaced about 28,000 gallons of diesel over the past year, its first year of operation. He says Manilok officials split the savings with Kotzebue Electric Association to pay for the wind power. Yet another renewable, biomass, is enabling Galena to burn less diesel and more wood chips to heat the city's educational complex.
We're burning somewhere around 50,000 gallons annually, and about anywhere from, we're learning, this is our first full year of operations, but about 650 to 700 cords of wood.
Tim Kalki is general manager for sustainable energy with the local nonprofit that's partnered with the city, school district, and a local tribal council to build and operate the biomass system. The $8 million facility allows the district to avoid burning diesel on all but the coldest days and to offset the cost of the fuel during the rest of the school year.
So we can run the wood by itself down to about 30 by below, but after that the wood subsidizes the rest of the energy.
Kalki says processing the locally harvested timber into wood chips brings the cost of the biomass up to about the same as diesel, at least for now.
The price of oil is very volatile, just a little bit more of an increase, and wood starts to become the cheaper option.
Regardless, Kalki says, the project has provided jobs and he hopes the beginning of a wood products industry. He says the $600,000 the partnership will spend stockpiling a three-year supply of timber is a better investment than buying overpriced fuel that goes up in smoke. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The National Weather Service is out with a river breakup forecast. In a video posted by the agency, hydrologist Celine Van Breukelen summarizes three factors being looked at in predicting flooding potential.
We have normal to well above normal snowpack across most of the state, with the exception of South Central and Southeast. We have normal to below normal ice thickness, just because the winter hasn't been bitterly cold and there's been some snow to insulate the ice. We have some bias towards warmer temperatures in late April and early May. And the outlook is the likelihood of flooding due to ice jams is average, and the amount of snowpack increases the likelihood of snowmelt flooding, especially in the middle Yukon, the Tanana, and the Koyukuk.
Van Breukelen notes that the melt-off of a well above normal snowpack in the Chena River Basin will likely force operation of the Chena Flood Control Project Moose Creek Dam. For more on tonight's stories or others, visit KUAC.org or Newsminer.com. I am Gary Black.